Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis, joined by Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel, and of course, the coach, former high school coach at Bernie Capel Brownwood, Belton Rotan, also a college football player at Abilene Christian, coach there as well, and was on the staff at Texas for five different seasons on multiple occasions and different roles and responsibilities. Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, coach? How you doing?
What's up?
Good to have you. What's up, CJ? How was your weekend, brother?
It was good. We saw some good track down here in Austin over the weekend. Got a commitment in the fold, too. Good weekend down here for Texas football. Good stuff, Rod. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited about the show because we got a lot to talk about. Of course, Texas, the transfer portal, give it and it take it away. Texas has another transfer portal commitment that we got to get to in the defensive backfield because you guys know, obviously, I'm a former member of DBU, card-carrying member, so we got to talk about that. We'll start off the show talking about Javion Cole. Get my man CJ's thoughts, get coach's thoughts about Javion Cole and that acquisition. Then we'll get into some of the other topics of the day. They got a lot of other random topics there. Is also a macro college football conversation to have. Ross Dellinger had a really interesting report over the weekend about the potential restructuring of college football as we know it. So that could be really interesting. Of course, all of your questions, all of your comments, super chats, you know how that goes. They jump to the front of the line. Thank you guys for your participation. Thank you guys for joining us, trying to create a community here. La Familia, my man CB. And we appreciate all you guys joining us, man. We can't say enough about how quickly this thing is growing and how fast it's growing, and it's because of you guys, so thank you very much. All right, so Joe Klatt's got a post-spring top 25 rankings that we'll get to a little bit later on the show. Pro Football Focus has actually started listing the number of players, position players specifically, that each school has in the NFL and which ones have the most players at specific positions in the NFL. The Longhorns do have some representation, but I want to talk to you guys about the next 3 to 4 years where the Longhorns could be ranked on some of those lists coming out for Pro Football Focus. Who's got the most tight ends in the league, the most offensive linemen, the most quarterbacks, most wide receivers. So we'll go through that list and see which Longhorns, where the Longhorns are ranked, if they're ranked at all. We'll also talk about the best returning wide receivers for 2024 in college football, because there is a ranking by Pro Football Network that has a Longhorn represented there as well. And we'll also get to a top 100 list in college football. If we have time, we'll get to a top 100 list in college football. And yes, there is not a fake story. Snoop Dogg is going to be a sponsor of a bowl game. And yes, he is going to name the bowl game the Gin and Juice Bowl after Dr. Dre. I thought it was a fake story. I did too. I was like, nah, it ain't real. And I've seen now multiple respectable outlets throw it out there. Coach Shipley is really excited about it because he's a big Snoop fan, I heard.
Got my mind on my money, baby.
See, Coach would like to start the show off with just talking about Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, but I feel that would be irresponsible. Coach, how about this? This is more relevant. Coach, who are you picking in the Drake, Kendrick Lamar beef? Are you in tune with this? Are you up to date on the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef?
Man, I'm gonna tell you straight from West Texas. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I have no idea what you're talking about. If it was Johnny Cash, yeah, I'd be in the middle of it. I have no idea what you're talking about. No, all I know is I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
I just wanted to see if Coach knew anything about it. If he had any penetrating.
I don't know, even know what you're talking about.
You know, the conversation at all. Okay, there you go. All right. What about you, CJ? You picking a side in the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef? Before we get that out of the way.
I'm a cornrow Kenny guy. Yeah. Okay. Kenny. All the way across the board. I'm a Kendrick Lamar guy.
There's a lot to sort through in this beef with Kendrick Lamar and Drake. We won't go through it. We don't have the time, ladies and gentlemen. But
thank God.
I'm just saying we were talking about it was hip hop related because we were talking about Snoop Dogg obviously sponsoring a bowl game, which we'll get back to that conversation too. And then we'll talk about who else to sponsor bowl games if Snoop Dogg's going to do it. All right, let's get right to the conversation, Jim. And, of course, all your questions, throw them out there, as many of them as you can, and we'll try to answer as many of the questions as we can before we get out of here. So, please, ladies and gentlemen, just whatever you want to talk about, you know how that goes. Super chats, always jump to the front of the line. Let's start with the big news on campus, gentlemen. The Javion Cole. Hey, J. Cole. It's also hip-hop related. J. Cole. That this is great. You know, Kendrick Lamar thing started with J. Cole, and then we got a J. Cole on campus. Boom. It's all kismet. Anyway. All right, Javion Cole. He is the cornerback commitment from San Jose State. And he is now committed to the Longhorns, about 5'10", 185, 190 pounds. CJ, I'll give you the floor first. Give me your thoughts about what you think about the latest commitment for the Longhorns via the transfer portal, Javion Cole out of San Jose State.
Yeah, I love the addition. And I think it was one that Texas needed to go out and make. Obviously, we saw the departures from the defensive back out of the winter portal window. But then that added a little bit as well with Terrence Brooks and Austin Jordan departing after spring football. Texas wasn't necessarily deep at that spot. You know, you had your three guys that weren't true freshmen, Gavin Holmes, Manny Muhammad, and Warren Roberson. Could you be in a good spot with those, with Gavin Holmes and Warren Roberson? Sure, but Texas isn't going to chance that. They're not going to risk injury and be out of a weakness brewing in that secondary. So they go out and add Javion Cole. Not the biggest guy, about 5'11", but Rod, you know, he's a 10'6 verified speed guy out of Oakland Athletic League on the West Coast. Has, you know, 13 interceptions dating back to a senior season. Also had 4 at Cal Poly, 3 a year ago at San Jose State. So he gets his hands on the ball. He turns around. He plays the ball like a wide receiver. He plays larger than his frame would insist he plays at. And as a result of his speed, I think he's a great candidate for the field side. And I know Texas might be teetering off of playing field and boundary versus left and right. But if he's a guy that you ask to play in a large space, I think he can do so because of his speed and athleticism. I look at that USC game. I went back and watched it over and over again. USC versus San Jose State to open the 2023 season. Didn't allow a reception off of Caleb Williams. USC ended up scoring 56 points, but not a reception when targeting Javion Cole, who was – he was only targeted 3 or 4 times. But, hey, if you're not allowing a completion from the reigning Heisman winner as a guy who's under the radar, I love that. And I think Texas did a good job identifying talent, addressing a need, and getting another speedster in that secondary this offseason, which we've certainly seen as a big continual trend so far with all of these portal additions.
Yeah, Coach, I don't know if you got a chance to watch any film on Javion Cole, but just give me your thoughts about another addition in the defensive backfield for Texas, something they definitely needed.
Yeah, I did watch a little film on him, and I'm excited about this. I think he's a guy that can really help our secondary, and I agree with CJ. He's a guy that we needed to add. I'm sorry, I've got the hiccups. I've had them for 2 days. I don't know how to get rid of them.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to get rid of them.
Oh, man. I hate when that happens to me. I get them for a long time. Like, when I get them, they stick around for a day or something, and it's terrible. I gotta do a radio show.
My wife told me last night, and she didn't say this, but I'm so big that she didn't say that, but she did say, every time you hiccup last night, it shook the whole bed.
Coach, you get a couple glasses of that gin and juice and you'll be all right.
Yeah,
there you go. That'll knock you out. You know, I used to have to chug something with carbonation. If I chug it, then I can kind of get rid of them. So there you go.
So Saturday, I tried lemon juice. Straight lemon juice concentrate. Ooh. Knocked it out for about 30 minutes. It was the best 30 minutes. It was great. Then, bam, they came back.
Damn. All right, that's tough. Yeah, all right. If y'all got random hiccup remedies for Coach, throw those out there too. We'll take those today. We all over the place. We'll take the random home hiccup remedies that you got out there.
I need them.
I'm sure somebody tried to scare you already. His wife, he tried to scare the hell out of you. Has that worked?
No, that don't work.
That don't work.
She ain't got nothing that scares me.
She should come behind. She should, you know, come close to you and she should fire a gun into the air. That'll scare the hell out of you.
It might.
That's what I'm saying. You got to get extreme in these circumstances. Just be safe, though.
Yeah. We're going to go the Snoop Dogg route and shoot and fire off a couple of rounds.
I'll just say I won't coach to get rid of the hiccups, man. 2 days. You don't want to be like Bo Jackson. You ever heard of Bo Jackson? Bo Jackson apparently had hiccups for like, I want to say he said he had them for years. Yeah, like a year.
Great year.
Yeah, like a straight year of hiccup.
I'm not doing that.
Go Google it. Thank you, CB. Yeah.
I'll be divorced in about a week if I keep up with it.
Yeah, Bo Jackson, I don't know what it was. Like, he had like chronic hiccups. And I remember reading that story that he said he underwent surgery because he had hiccups for like going on a year. Yeah, nearly a year. He said nearly a year. Crazy. Wow. So yeah. I'm not putting that evil on Coach at all. They'll be gone by tomorrow, Coach. They'll be gone by the morning. Don't worry about that. Let me give you my thoughts on Javion Cole, though. J. Cole, hopefully he can earn that nickname on the 49ers. What I like about his game, I totally agree with you, CJ. I think he's a guy, ideally, you want playing off coverage. Most of the coverage I've seen him play was playing off coverage. And he's patient in his retreat, whether it be shuffling or whether he be backpedaling. You can tell he's taking the three-step read. He has really disciplined eyes, which means he goes in zone coverage from the quarterback on the three-step to the number two, back to the number one, or to the number one and back to the number two. Really disciplined. That's why he ends up in the right place a lot of the times and able to make a play on the football. I agree with you. The guy's a natural ball hawk. When the ball's in the air, he believes he's got a right to it, more of a right to it than the receiver does. I love that about his game. Guy gets his hands on the ball. And also, I love the profile of his game. This is a guy, Coach, that started out at Cal Poly, got his four interceptions there at the FCS level, got to the FBS level, and San Jose got three interceptions there. Now he's coming to the Power Five level, to the SEC. He's got the profile of a guy that was under-recruited, right? That everybody just kind of missed on this guy. And even in high school, I remember my man Bobby Burton throwing out these stats. His senior year, 20 receptions, 11 touchdowns, 5 kick return touchdowns, punt return and kickoff return combined, 6 interceptions. I mean, the dude has just been – he's just been a playmaker at every level that he's been on, and he's gotten better every year he's played football at the highest level. He just keeps getting better. I think the belief is that he's got a really high ceiling and that the Longhorns believe that when he comes here to the University of Texas – that he can, start even progress even more. I think he's going to be really good in zone coverage. Texas plays a lot of cover four, a lot of cover three. Those are match coverages, meaning they deteriorate into a man coverage once the route is declared. So he's really good at that because he's disciplined with his eyes. I think a lot more disciplined than some of the other Texas DBs are. He's patient, so he's not trying to retreat. When he has cushion playing off coverage, that's 7-8 yards. That's all the cushion he's given. He'll make breaks and make plays on underneath throws because he's patient and he's not giving up too much of that cushion. He's not trying to keep that cushion. He understands you got to break it, but he's patient as he allows that cushion, as that receiver to eat up that cushion. He's not giving up easy completions just because he's playing off coverage. That was kind of the problem with Texas earlier. They were giving up easy completions when they play off. Just because you're playing off doesn't mean you're giving up easy completions. That's why you're reading the three-step drop so that you can play somebody on these stuff. As soon as you read the three-step, you come off the three-step, boom, to your receiver, and then you should be able to read the receiver and the release of them. Texas DBs don't do that enough. I think this is a guy that does it naturally. I'm with you guys. I love it. He's a 10-6 guy in 100 meters in high school, so he's got some straightaway speed. But ultimately, I think it's a good pickup for the Longhorns. High football IQ guy too. You can tell by watching film, and he's got 2 years of eligibility left.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going to go. He's a younger guy. He's going to be a true junior. But everywhere he's been, Cal Poly, San Jose State, he's immediately made an impact. He's been on the field, and he's been a guy that's been tough to get off. I know PFF kind of has a polarizing view on a number of people, but if you look at his numbers comparatively to the rest of the Power Five cornerbacks in 2023, he actually ranks as the 26th best cornerback in coverage last year with more than 200 snaps. Pretty impressive, if you ask me, for a guy coming out of San Jose State. Only allowed 19 yards after the catch as well. So if he's not knocking the ball down, intercepting it, if the pass is completed, that pass isn't going very far after the catch. He's not the best in terms of coming up off the edge and making plays off the edge in the run game. He will come up and he will get his hat in the mix, but he's not necessarily, I would call, a strong tackler. Yeah. But in the sense in which the ball is completed, that ball is not going anywhere further down the field. That's 19 yards after catch on 22 receptions allowed, 46 attempts. So he was targeted pretty often a year ago. That's about 42% completion rating against. But, hey, I'll take that 19 yards against. If you're not allowing the big play time and time again, I'll take that time and time again, anytime. Yeah.
No, you're right about that. I watched that UNLV game. UNLV's got a really good receiver. I think his name is Ricky White. It's a really good receiver. He's going to play on Sundays. He's a good receiver. I think he's graded out Pro Football Focus as the highest graded returning wide receiver, and he's the highest graded group of five wide receiver too. But anyway, I watched him against him. He had two breakups on two targets. They didn't target him a lot. You can tell teams, they target the other corner a lot more than they target him. They don't come after him a lot because I think they are a little bit weary of his coverage skills because he's a guy that plays sticky coverage. So I like it. I'm with you though, you know, CJ doesn't, I don't know if he's an impressive run defender when he has to come down and contain. I worry about him a little bit. Wide receiver screens and him being physical at the point of attack, especially in the SEC. I worry about him a little bit. Can he play bump and run coverage? I haven't seen enough from playing press man coverage. I think he excels in off coverage. I wonder how comfortable he is playing press man because Texas wants to play more press man. I do think they're trying to get away from the boundary and the field corner, at least based on what I saw in the spring game. But, I mean, that's still something that's kind of innate within the system. So he seems like a field corner to me and not necessarily a boundary corner.
Yes.
Yeah. But either way, it's a nice pickup. I'll ask you this, CJ, do you anticipate them making any other acquisitions in the transfer portal now that they've gotten their cornerback? Obviously missed out on Dominique Williams, the D tackle position. Any chance either in the secondary at D tackle or another position that Texas may look at to, you know, upgrade in the transfer portal?
I think the most likely right now is punter. And I say that because I think Texas going out and adding two interior defensive line guys, now that room looks a little bit different, a lot more experience, a lot more production into that room. Whereas it previously, you only really looked at Vernon Broughton, Alfred Collins, and a little bit of Aaron Bryant as your guys who have had big time play at the Power Five level on the defensive line. I think the cornerback, the defensive room or defensive back room is set now. Of course, you add Andrew Makuba, you add Javion Cole. That safety group at the moment looks like it could be a strength of your defense, as well as the edges. We'll see how Cole and, you know, Gavin Holmes kind of figure into that cornerback battle for that that spot opposite of Terrence Brooks. But right now, if I had to pick another place for them to maybe give a look, would be the linebacker, because I do think you're a little thin at that spot with the departures of Kendrick Blackshear and Smaje Burrell. Do you need a big time, you know, starter caliber guy? I don't think so. But I do think it's worth looking for a good fit at that spot. Of course, linebacker is basically the running back of the defense. Those bodies get banged up. They get hit often. Again, I think that if you're four deep at the moment, with Darren Gillette kind of being that fifth guy, if an injury occurs, are you still comfortable and confident in that group being a strength? I think you'd rather, you know, kind of err on the side of caution there and go out and add a body if you find a fit with a grad transfer or a guy looking to make the jump up to, you know, the SEC.
Hey, Coach, if you could add anybody or at any position, what position would you add another player to the transfer portal or look to add another player to the transfer portal?
Well, that's a good question. I agree. Probably linebacker might be one.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think is good about the Cole commitment, here's a guy who obviously has a chip on his shoulder. He was overlooked coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so he transferred up a level. He dominated. I don't know if any DB ever dominates, but he had a really good career at San Jose State.
Yep.
So he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. I mean, he's been overlooked everywhere he's been, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a guy that's going to come in, I think, you know, and with a lot of aggressive attitude that he's got to prove himself once again. And he's done that everywhere he's been.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do that at Texas, he'll be a great addition to our roster.
Definitely. Yeah, no doubt. And, Gavin Holmes, I'm assuming he's going to be rotating with Gavin Holmes, competing for that starting spot. Malik Muhammad's spot is secure. I mean, he's still obviously a competitor, but I think we believe it's all secure. He's going to take a huge leap this year. It'll be Gavin Holmes, who plays a lot of that field corner. It'll be Gavin Holmes and obviously J. Cole. And I think they'll compete. I will say that if Gavin Holmes doesn't, you know, step his play up, I could see this young man coming in, making a lot of big plays when he's in there because he is a ball hawk, and potentially swaying the coaches to give him more playing time. So I think he's a guy that's definitely going to add to it. I love what you said, Coach, about the chip on his shoulder. Guy definitely has a chip. He's got, you know, that competitive sickness because he everywhere he's gone, he's had to prove himself. And once again, he'll have to prove himself. So I do like that about his journey so far. All right, we'll get back to the conversation about Jadeveon Cole. I got a couple of topics that I want to get into. Before we do, though, I got to give some props to a couple of Longhorns, friends of mine, who I do the third Longhorns podcast with. Man, these gentlemen are extraordinary. They're lifetime Longhorns. First of all, man, Alex Okafor, congrats to him. I saw he was he either appointed or elected. I'm not sure how their board works, but Pflugerville ISD congratulated him on being the newest member of the Board of Trustees.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was elected. Sorry, I take that back. He was elected. It says here he was elected to represent Pflugerville ISD and help lead the students and the staff to a bright future. So congrats to my man Alex Okafor, leading positive change through education in our community. And my man Derek Johnson, legendary lifetime Longhorn Derek Johnson, he was selected to give the commencement speech or be the commencement speaker for the College of Education in the spring of 2024.
Look at that.
Yeah. So congrats to my man, Derek Johnson. Is going to give the legendary lifetime Longhorn, Derek Johnson, going to be the commencement speaker for the College of Education in 2024. So congrats to both of those guys, man. Those are big. And both those guys, huge, you know, advocates for the transformative power of education. And once again, representing the brand in a really good way. So those guys are fantastic. And they love this community. And you can tell by example, they're showing their dedication to it. So just wanted to give those guys some props, man. All right. Let's give props, first of all, to our sponsor, because our friends over at South Point Dodge, they have come on board, and we're really excited about South Point Dodge and everything that they represent, because they represent excellence. So do we. So Texas football fans, just want you to know this year you can score big and you can score any extra points you need this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't do games, folks. They're not about gimmicks. They just get straight to the point by getting you the best deal possible. That is their only goal. So you can score big today at South Point Dodge. Go see them off I-35 in South Austin, or visit them online at southpointdodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. So thank you very much to South Point Dodge and all their support. I got a bit of a guessing game I want y'all to play later on, too. I was doing some research on a certain subject, draft-related and recruiting-related, too, that I want to get you guys' thoughts on. So I'll be kind of a game show host, and we'll do that later on. It'll be quick, and it won't take long at all, but it'll get us into an interesting conversation. So speaking of interesting conversations, I saw Pro Football Focus. They put out their ranking of the college football programs who have the most current NFL players at every position. Well, they went offense. They haven't done defense yet, so maybe we'll do defense on Thursday. But they went all the offensive positions. And the Longhorns are represented on a couple of these. I want to get you guys' thoughts about it. First of all, I think where they're most represented among these position groups is at running back. I don't think that's any shock to anybody. It says that the Longhorns have five running backs currently on NFL rosters. I didn't do the research, but top of the head, Rojo, Bijan, Jay Brooks, Keelan Robinson, Deontay Foreman.
Sounds right. Five, right.
Yeah, right. That's got to be the five. And they're only behind Georgia. Georgia's got six of them, and Georgia's the only school that they're behind. So once again, we talk about this all the time. CJ, you and I had the discussion too. Coach, I don't know if, you know, there are maybe three or four rooms in the country, position rooms in the country, in other football programs that I will admit are better than the Texas running back room. And by the way, if you include, you know, that this is the thing about Texas, with the running backs too. they don't include guys who transferred, I know, in those numbers. But, you know, Texas, hell, it should be six, basically. You start looking at guys who transferred, left the program, also were drafted to the NFL. But, Coach, I don't think there are too many. Only maybe, I can count them on one hand, too many position rooms in college football right now that are as good, if not better, than that Texas running back room over the last 4 or 5 years or so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, especially considering we were kind of in a drought for a while. You know, we didn't have much. Our, you know, Jamal retired and some other guys retired, and, you know, we weren't very well represented, but we're on a roll right now, and we've still got a running back room that's going to continue to put backs in the NFL. So yeah. I look for us to move up on that list in the next year or two.
That means because Jaden Blue and Cedric Baxter will be your next two guys that are up. Both of those guys, I think we believe that can, you know, play on Sundays. But Jaden Blue, if things go right, Jaden Blue's on the record for saying, you know, he would leave if things went right for him. You know, I don't know exactly what that means and what that entails, but I think that both of those running backs will end up in the NFL. So no telling Texas may end up leading in this category before long. Another category that Pro Football Focus brought up that the Longhorns had some representation was the wide receiver position. Alabama leads the NFL based on their numbers. They lead all college football programs with nine receivers on NFL rosters, along with Ohio State and USC. Then Clemson has eight. So three tied for first. Clemson has eight. Florida with seven. LSU with seven. And Tennessee with seven. Thought LSU would have had more somehow, but yeah, because they've been pumping them out. Georgia has six, along with Michigan and Ole Miss and Penn State and Texas with six. Can you name the six receivers in the league?
Oh yeah,
three of them are easy because they just got drafted.
Come on, Coach, give me half of them.
The three in the league.
Yeah, the three guys that just got drafted. They're my
half. Exactly. Right. It's got to be Lil Jordan Humphrey, Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay. That's your other three.
Duvernay.
We'll see. I guess if Marquise Goodwin gets picked up again, that'll be your seventh.
Oh, is Marquise Johnson on the roster right now?
I don't believe so. I'll have to double check. And also, Marcus Johnson just wrapped up a 6-year career in 2022. I know he kind of flirted around with some practice squad teams a year ago. So if he gets back in, you could potentially see that Texas number rise up to eight. So that's not too bad, especially coming off of what it was, I would say, 3 or 4 years ago, you know, right around the time that Texas was just putting Colin Johnson and Devin Duvernay into the league. It certainly didn't feel like you were hearing any Longhorn names making plays in the NFL for about a decade. It was a tough drought there for a while. It was, you know, pretty barren. But now that you're starting to see this turnaround, of course, big-time running backs being drafted, big-time wide receivers being put into the league, and Rod, I think we'll talk about tight ends here in a bit, but that's a sneaky number for the Longhorns here in a second because, again, some of those guys have just kind of lasted. They just found ways to hang on to NFL rosters for quite a while, and now it feels like the tight end spot will continue to see development at the professional level where we haven't seen that necessarily, at least in the draft.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. That we talked about that the other day, that – it's one of those positions where you wouldn't think Texas had that much representation, but actually Texas has done pretty well developing NFL tight ends in the last 5, 6, 7 years or so. But getting back to the wide receiver, I think I'm with you with Arch Manning becoming your, you know, at least he's going to be the quarterback that's going to succeed my man Quinn Ewers. At least that's what everybody believes. You're going to be able to recruit even more big time wide receivers via the transfer portal. And of course, obviously, through traditional recruiting, I think Texas actually in 3 or 4 years, because Isaiah Bond is like now predicted to be a guy drafted in the first round. In 3 or 4 years, I think Texas, if they continue to have multiple receivers drafted year after year, which having three in one draft, I got to go back and check how often that happens. Doesn't happen very often. I think Texas will be up there toward the top of this list in about 2 or 3 years. It's just the way Sark offense works. It's a very wide receiver friendly offense, and wide receivers want to come play in it.
That's why you saw Matthew Golden transfer, you saw Isaiah Bond transfer, Silas Bolden We talked to him, Bobby and I did on Texas Football about a week ago. So, yeah, you look at that offense, they put up points, they win games. Why would you not want to be a part of that? And of course, you're able to go out and track big-time talent. Jonte Cook, a borderline five-star. Ryan Wingo was a five-star. And, of course, you're able to go out to California now with DeAndre Moore, Aaron Butler, some of these guys that probably wouldn't have considered Texas in the past, but because of Jeff Banks' ties out west, Johnny Nansen's ties out west, Steve Sarkisian has ties out west. Oh, and so does Chris Jackson, who's the man in charge of recruiting all of these guys in the first place. So you're able to go to big-time pockets that produce big-time wide receivers and give them an entire picture rather than just a few puzzle pieces and say, yeah, you can come make it if everything falls into place. No, no, no. Everything's already in place for wide receivers to come to Texas and succeed. And it certainly helps, Zach, I like that comment, being in the SEC and playing under the lights against the big-time programs, that's going to help as well. So things are looking really bright for the future of the NFL Longhorns on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's a right around nearing another golden age era for Longhorns entering the NFL.
Yeah. No, it's hard to disagree with that because we just talked about the running back position. Tashard Choice is known as one of the best young coaches in terms of how, you know, how he's an excellent recruiter and also developer of talent. He's showing that on the 40 acres too, having back-to-back, you know, years with the top running back drafted off the board and multiple running backs taken in the NFL draft. So that position is going to continue to flourish. I think I'm with you. I would think wide receiver is going to continue to flourish. But this is a sneaky position. And the Pro Football Focus ranking of the schools with the most tight ends currently on NFL rosters, it didn't really list the Longhorns here. But I happen to know from a conversation that CJ and I had that the Longhorns do have currently four tight ends on NFL rosters. The most tight ends by school, Georgia has six of them, along with Stanford, Iowa. We've talked about the Iowa tight ends are like the Texas running back room, except it goes back even further. Iowa, Notre Dame with five tight ends per school, and then Georgia Tech, Penn State, South Carolina, Washington, and I don't know how many other schools because I didn't do the research, but because CJ and I were talking about, I know for a fact Texas has at least four tight ends currently on NFL rosters right now because Cade Brewer just got some love. Cade Brewer got called up to the NFL, and that was obviously the 49ers were the team that called him up, but I saw that via Twitter. JT Sanders just got drafted. Jeff Swain is still in the NFL, and then you got Andrew Beck. Now you may consider him a fullback or an H-back, but he's listed as a tight end if you go look at his position, and that's four. So I throw Texas in there, and that is a surprise, Coach, because that's a position that Texas has struggled, at least Longhorn fans believe they've struggled to develop in recent years, and yet a lot of these guys still trickling up to the NFL, and as CJ said, turning them into NFL careers at the tight end position. Tyrone Swoops was doing it until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and of course Jared Wiley, who transferred to TCU.
Yeah, there you go.
Got drafted. Exactly. You know? So after two seasons at TCU, so you know we can't claim him, but
You can claim him.
It's so much better than it was, you know, before 2017, say.
Georgia having six is very surprising to me. I know Brock Bauer steals the headlines there, but when you start considering who each guys are, I mean, Notre Dame has a number of big-time guys. Iowa, pound for pound, probably has the best group of tight ends in the doubt in the NFL. I think that goes without any question. But Georgia, to me, of six, that's surprising. You talk about getting that machine going and having guys churning in and out into the league. I don't know if I could name three of those guys from Georgia in the league at the moment.
Ooh, that's good. That's a great. I don't think I can either. Now you said that, CJ.
You have six. That's a good one. He was just drafted. He will be drafted. I know he's a big time target. He was a big time, you know, recruit back in the day. But I don't know if I can name anybody else other than that Brock Bowers from Georgia. And that's bad on me. That's bad on me.
No, it shows you a lot about that program. That physical style of play, they value tight ends, and the NFL knows they got good tight ends because the NFL keeps going back for them.
All right, here we go. I got them. John Fitzpatrick, Charlie Warner, both of them on the Falcons. Wow. Trey McKitty, I know him. He's on the Bills. Let's see. I'm scrolling a while. Brock Bowers on the Raiders just got drafted. Lawrence Kager on the Giants. Fourth year. Haven't heard of him.
Wow.
Darnell Washington, of course.
Yes.
6'7", 6'8". Looks like a house moving down the field. He's on the Steelers.
Yep.
And, yeah, I guess that's the final one. I'm missing one. But regardless, you hear Brock Bowers at the top of the draft board. You know he's the big-time tight end out of Georgia. You see all these guys go first, second round all the time. Tight end's a spot that maybe not stealing those headlines or being the guy in the top five or six to be drafted in a given year, but they're doing it, and that's a selling point. That helps them get a guy like Brock Bowers or Oscar Delp or some of these big-time tight ends that they're continuing to recruit. That's how you turn out great big-time players at the college level, and that's why they win so often. So Texas is on that trajectory with Jatavion Sanders, Amari Nyeblack, Gunnar Helm, Jordan Washington next up. We'll see what happens with Juan Davis. You know, could you develop a Will Rand or Spencer Shannon and something else? But, hey, they're recruiting Nick Townsend, Keyote Armstrong, and have Amari Winston in the fold. It's a pretty good start. Pretty good trend going on right now for the Texas tight ends.
No, Stark says it's the second most important position in his offense behind quarterback. And, you know, he wants to bring in more and more talented tight ends. And I think Texas could end up, you know, having a bit of a pipeline at the tight end position. They do it right. Amari Nyeblack potentially has an NFL future, and so does Gunnar Helm. Okay, let's get it. And before we finish this up, Texas did not have anybody ranked, or at least they were not ranked among the schools with the most quarterbacks in the NFL. And by the way, every school is tied with three. Alabama, Georgia, Houston, North Carolina, North Dakota State, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Tennessee all have three quarterbacks currently on NFL rosters, and that apparently is the max. That is all tied. They're all tied for the top spot. Texas has how many? One. They'll have two after Quinn. So honestly, in 4 or 5 years, I'll ask you this, because Texas also has no offensive line. They're not listed on the list of the most schools with offensive linemen. Michigan with 14, LSU, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Wisconsin with 11, and Bama, Georgia, TCU, Ohio State, Texas A&M. Sorry, Bama, Georgia, TCU with 10, and then Ohio State A&M with 9. Texas, how many O-linemen currently in the league? Is it two? Cosme, Connor Williams, three? Yeah, because you just had Christian Jones. Does that make three? Are we missing
four? Calvin Anderson, I think, is still either on the Broncos or the Patriots.
Okay, so that's four. All right.
So I think that's where you're sitting at the moment. He's on the Patriots. Calvin Anderson is. Of course, Sam Cosmi on the Commanders. We just saw the Cardinals take Christian Jones. So I like the comment. I think it was Ryan Nelson earlier up here. How many Longhorns on the offensive line end up getting drafted from this roster right now? Eight's a pretty hefty number. I could see the argument for eight. Let's go. I mean, Kelvin Banks getting drafted. Cam Williams, I believe, will end up drafted. DJ Campbell, he's the guy that will get drafted. Does Jake Majors make that jump? Does Hayden Connor find the way in? Nato Umeazula, those three guys on the fold. If Cole Hudson has two good years at a starting spot, I think he's a guy that could find a way into the back end of a draft. Then you start going down the list. It's all about development here, so it's not necessarily fair to say anybody in those 23 classes – are they draft caliber guys? Yeah. It all depends on what we see. But 2024, you got a five-star Brandon Baker. He looked pretty good. And we know that Daniel Cruz had a strong spring. So those are two guys there that I think could end up developing in a potential professional offensive lineman. But that list is going to get real long real soon for the Texas group, and it's going to be a big selling point for Kyle Flood.
Hey, Coach, let me ask you this. Out of all the lists that we just went through, quarterbacks and O-linemen where Texas is not in the top 10. There's tight ends and running backs and wide receivers where Texas does have some representation. Where is Texas most likely to see the most upward mobility on those lists in the next 2 years? Which one of those position lists are they going to have? They're going to see the most improvement in terms of their numbers in the league at that position in the next 2 years, in your opinion?
Well, since you can only play one quarterback, I don't know that.
That's fair.
I mean, and we don't know how long Manning's going to stay, too. You know,
that's fair.
But you know, I would say possibly wide receiver. I mean, we've got 3, 4, probably at least 4, I think, pretty draftable guys on the roster right now at wide receiver. Maybe more, but you're talking about the next 2 years.
You can stretch it out to 3 if you want. Yeah, I was just going like the near future.
Yeah.
But if you're right, if you put Arch in there and wait till Arch is ready to go, and that'll be what, maybe, I don't know how long, 3 years if Arch sticks around for that extra, that second year. So in the next 3 years, I'm with you. You know, they probably could have 3 quarterbacks on the roster. Bam, bam. Sam sticks around long enough, which I think he can as a backup in the league. So you can see the most upward mobility there. What about you, CJ?
Yeah, I look at wide receivers simply because there's so many of them. Offensive line, I know they take a little bit of time, but with the way that they're recruiting, I certainly could see the argument there. My thing with the offensive line is, you know, you keep those guys in your system for years and years and years. We just saw Texas go out, put 3 guys in the NFL at wide receiver, while also just getting 3 other wide receivers in out of the portal. So we could certainly see a year in which, you know, maybe Matthew Golden takes a tremendous leap, and he's a draft caliber guy. We know Isaiah Bond's already getting mocked in the first round. Silas Bolden's a guy who does not have much eligibility left to begin with, so he's likely to depart anyways. That's 2 guys you're going to have to replace with a 3rd that might have the option to jump as well. You could be in a similar predicament a year from now where you're going out and putting 3 straight guys into the NFL at the wide receiver spot and still having to go out to the portal and adding more, where you'll just be in a similar spot with Jonte Cook, DeAndre Moore, Ryan Niblett, all becoming eligible, and whoever you just added out of the portal. So that's my pick. I think it's a good one. It's a flashy one. It's one that you'll see a lot of highlights from, of course, with A.D. Mitchell, Jordan Whittington, and Xavier Worthy. That's the big flashy plays. You know, you hear about it all the time from LSU. It feels like they have more players in the NFL. You mentioned it earlier, Rod, because of Ja'Marr Chase, because of Justin Jefferson. They steal the headlines on every highlight reel. It's a marketing ploy for all the universities that have those big-time names. Now Texas has some of those guys. And now you'll start seeing Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell, you know, on Red Zone, on SportsCenter, Top 10, whatever it is. And now you see why players will want to transfer to Texas, because they get those guys into the league. And I think it's going to be the hottest position for Texas in the entire program under Steve Sarkisian for the duration of his tenure in Austin.
No, good point there. I saw Xavier Worthy is also returning punts for Kansas City already. So they got him back there returning punts. I don't know if he's going to be the punt returner, but they got him practicing with it. And he looks good. They were remarking how he looks really fast. He looks as fast as his 40 time out there. He's just wearing I think he's just wearing helmets out there. But my man Xavier Worthy already turning heads at training camp for, or at least rookie OTAs for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right. Before we get back to, we'll get some of your questions too in comments. So please just throw them out there. I want to get to what Coach has been waiting to talk about all show long. So Ross Dellinger, who's been on it doing a great job, he's the first that I saw with it, but I've seen Brett McMurphy and some other sources with it. Snoop Dogg is going to sponsor the Arizona Bowl with his own gin and juice brand. this is, like I said, this is a real story. This is not made up. His beverage line with Dr. Dre, by the way, gin and juice, is going to be the new title sponsor of the Arizona Bowl. It's going to be the new presenting sponsor. It's pretty groundbreaking, I would say. The game's full name is a unique combination of words. Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dr. Dre and Snoop. I'll repeat. Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dr. Dre and Snoop.
Coach, that's too many words.
Yeah, they should have. I don't know why they should have been able to. Yeah, they made that cooler. They're rappers. Come on, man. You guys are linguists. Come on, try to figure, you're lyricists. Come on, man. Figure out a way to make that sound cooler. All right, Coach. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is a good move? Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, Gin and Juice sponsoring the Arizona Bowl. You all about this? What are going to be the gifts at this bowl game? What are going to be the, you know, the, they always have great bowl gifts. What's the bowl gifts at the Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, well, Gin, you better go to 21 to get a bowl gift from the Arizona Bowl. Freshman, sophomore is going to be in trouble. They won't be partaking of any gin and juice. And with Snoop Dogg, you never know what they're going to be partaking of.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, you know, my first thought was, uh-oh. I mean, I hope the cancel culture doesn't find something on Snoop and, you know, throw him under the bus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I got my money on my mind, baby. Oh, I mean, you know, it's good. It'll draw some attention to the bowl. I just want to see. He said he's going to call part of the game, and if he calls the game anything like he did Planet Earth, it's going to be very entertaining. I don't know if you've seen a clip of him narrating Planet Earth with snakes chasing a lizard, but it's very fun. Oh, watch out, dog!
I've seen him. He's done some. I want to say like not Ultimate Fighting, but he's done like some MMA stuff, I believe. Like done like play by play of some of that stuff. So like the dog bowl. No, dog. He has. He's Fo Shizzle. Fo Shizzle. I'm telling you, he's done some of that stuff. I can't recall exactly what it is because I didn't watch it. But I want to say he's done some like play by play, you know, color stuff on the side before. Obviously, it's just in jest. It's funny, but if he's gonna do part of this, I'm gonna watch. Because I'm with you, Coach. That's must-watch television. Snoop doing the play-by-play. Yeah.
How long of a delay you think they got to have for Snoop?
about 10 seconds, just to make sure. Just about 10 seconds, just to be safe. Just to be safe, just so nobody gets canceled. You know what I mean? Nobody gets fired. I agree with you on that. But, yeah, this is happening, folks. It's going to be at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time, December 28th. Hey, so expect to be televised on a network, but we don't know a network yet.
You think they're dumping the gin and juice on the coaches afterward? You can smell them like a ball.
Yes, CJ, it's got to happen.
Fantastic idea. If they're dumping mayonnaise and crackers and Cheez-Its on coaches, I mean, amen. Come on. Amen. Coach can be feeling a little tipsy walking off the field, no doubt.
I just wonder what the winners are going to be smoking in the locker room. I bet it ain't going to be cigars. They're going to have some big old reefers.
I can't believe it, but it's awesome. This is amazing. I honestly, out of all those ridiculous bowl games I played in, I wouldn't mind playing in the Snoop Dogg Gin and Juice whatever bowl, presented by Dr. Dre and Snoop. I wouldn't mind playing in it. That and like the Chick-fil-A bowl, because I love Chick-fil-A. Any bowl games, I can just eat Chick-fil-A. I imagine you get free Chick-fil-A the whole damn week. You're just eating Chick-fil-A. And I imagine, I don't know if these guys are going to get Gin and Juice, the spirit now that is a Dr. Dre Snoop Dogg collaboration. And by the way, this is the first of their cocktails that they're going to come out with. Apparently they're going to have a whole brand and a whole line of cocktails, and gin and juice is the first. Makes sense. For those who don't know, I'm sure they do. Even Coach knows, so everybody knows. Back in the day, my man Dr. Dre Snoop, they made a classic hip-hop song called Gin and Juice. Blew up, became an iconic song, and that's what they're basing the brand off of. Do they got to jam the song at the bowl game a lot too?
They better have a good edited version.
They got a PG-13 version of Gin and Juice they come out with. Oh, man. Is Dr. Dre still going to be at the bowl game? Oh, that's good. Imagine if Colorado and Coach Prime wind up there. Oh, you know what's going to happen then? Dion's going to be on a rap song with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre to commemorate the occasion. Y'all know Dion rap too. Even though he don't rap as
okay.
Well, but Dion got a rap album too now.
That would be a great halftime show. Dre, and Prime. Halftime show. Prime show. Y'all make the adjustments. I'll be in a little bit.
That would be amazing. That would be all time Prime right there. Hey, I'll be in there in a minute. I got a performance real quick. Oh, I am praying it happens now, guys. Now I want it to happen so bad. I am praying. Do we know the ties to the Arizona Bowl? What conference ties? Because I'm hoping it's the Big 12 somehow.
It's a Mountain West Bowl. I know Wyoming played in it a few years ago. I know Mountain West is in it. I don't know if it's a Pac-12 game. I know they used to play it at U of A. Okay. So you know their turf says bear down across the middle of it. I think it'll be fair if they switch it around to say drink up.
Hey, I gotta say, CJ, you got a great marketing mind, man. You should be working out in the desert with these folks. You got some great ideas for this Arizona Bowl.
Sign me up for the Gin and Juice Bowl. That's the one I want to go to. That or the Bahamas. Get me out of the.
That's another one. You're right. That's another one. The Bahamas Bowl. That's another one I want to go to. If I'm gonna go to a little random exhibition game for a bowl game, Bahamas Bowl, baby. Yes. Let's have a good time. Let's have a damn good time. I like that. Don't forget, also remember Snoop Dogg. He has a football league of his own out on the West Coast. And he has produced a few NFL players actually from that football league he has out on the West Coast in Cali. So Snoop Dogg's always been involved with sports and now taking it to a whole nother level with the make sure I get it right here.
Hey Rod.
Yeah, go ahead.
Whatever happened to his son? Did he ever make it to the league?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know.
He ended up at UCLA, is that right?
USC or UCLA, I can't remember.
Right. I think he got a lot of endorsement deals, though. He did. No, I think he got a ton of endorsement deals. He gave up football, I think.
Okay.
And I think he just gave, if I'm not mistaken, I think he just gave it up.
He's just sipping on the gin and juice now.
I think he wants to be like he basically wants to be an artist like his dad.
What do they say? Toes up, hoes down, something like that. I don't know.
Bros up.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
10 toes down.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Toe shizzle my nizzle. Yes.
I got you. All right.
Yeah, he might be. I don't know. We started out talking about Drake and then Kendrick Lamar, and now we're talking about Snoop Dogg. Oh, man. Coach is in rare form, I got to tell you. All right.
We're going to have to get a Shipley Ranches Bowl out in Odessa, Coach.
Ooh. I like that. Yeah. Come on now.
I'm waiting for the Hems Rocket Bowl.
Hey,
rocket Hems bowl. Shoot up a rocket bowl. coming to you from Cape Canaveral, Florida.
I like it.
Oh man. See, well, hey, I don't know how much it costs to get bowl sponsorship, but hey man, it might be something you might need to consider. Shipley Ranches, baby.
I don't think that's happening.
All right, let's get back to it. I got a little game I want to play with you guys real quick. I was doing some research based on the NFL draft. And I've been doing this for a few years now, basically since 2020. So basically last five NFL draft. And you know how they tell you where every player's from and like the states they're from. And I've been tracking the metro areas, like basically greater metro areas. You know, like a Houston or a DFW or Miami or the greater LA or greater Baltimore, whatever. The metro areas that produce the most NFL talent. And I've been doing it for the last 5 years. So I got numbers for the last 5 years on the top 10 metro areas, basically greater metro areas in America that produce the most NFL talent, the most fertile metro areas. You guys want to guess? The top 10
I'm in.
Most fertile metro areas in America for producing the most NFL talent. You can check them out.
Okay, yeah. I just want one hint. How many of the 10 would be considered South in the South?
Oh, okay. That's easy. Okay, I got you. Here we go. I actually labeled that because I was interested too. 1, 2, 3. And we're including Southeast in this too, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, you're at 6 that would be considered the okay. South. The, all right. Yeah. Like the straight up South or Southeast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that,
those four are going to be the challenge.
Yeah, I will say I ended up with, because there's some ties here. So I ended up with two ties. In addition to my top 10 ranks. So basically, I ended up with 12 teams overall.
Let's do it. Like 12, I like
12,
this.
12 metro areas overall. Because there are two ties. Like yeah. And there's an honorable mention too. So honestly, there are 13 of them. But yes, so you got a lot of margin for error here. Go. Just see if y'all can guess them. And I'll give you where they rank.
Let's take the easy one, Coach. I'm going to Atlanta.
Oh, that's numero uno, baby. Last 5 years. Nobody producing more NFL talent than Atlanta right now. 15 players on average the last 5 years per season. Woo. You see why Kirby Smart doing what he's doing, man. They are beast mode. Good job, CJ. Ding. All right, Coach.
Houston.
Oh, Houston would be number four on the list. Okay. Yeah, Houston's number four on the list. Yeah, no doubt. Houston, and they've been in the last 5 years, they've remained in the top five. So Houston's number four on the list. Good job, Coach.
I'll go New Orleans.
New Orleans did not make the list this year. Fell off the list. Yeah.
Wow. I took it.
Yeah. I'll say this as a hint. There's another Louisiana city that actually rose above, metro area that rose above New Orleans this year. Yeah. All right, Coach, you go.
Miami, Dade County.
Boom. Miami in a tie. Miami, greater metro, is third in a third tie, in a third place tie. I won't give you the city in a tie with them, but it'll be easy to guess too. See, you go, CJ.
I want to go out west, but I'm going to go Dallas.
Oh, number two, baby. CJ at the top of the board. Number two, DFW, the second most fertile metro area in America right now behind Atlanta. Now, they are actually pretty far behind Atlanta. They're producing a little under 12 players per season in the last 5 years, but still holding their own. There ain't nothing like DFW right now in the state of Texas. It used to be a competition between Houston and Dallas. It is no longer the case. But how about this? Texas has two cities in the top four.
That's pretty good.
The most fertile metro areas in America are producing NFL talent. So there you go.
And one that Texas is dominating Dallas. Yep. So that's good stuff.
All right, Coach. You up.
L.A.
You damn right, Coach. They tied for third with Miami. Boom. L.A. Yep, they are tied for third. L.A. still represent. It's crazy. L.A. it used to be, I believe, toward the top of this list, and over the years, LA has slowly started to drop off. DFW taking it over Atlanta as well. All right, CJ, your go.
Orlando,
no. There is a Florida city, another Florida city there, but not Orlando. But Orlando was, my research, Orlando came up a lot. It just didn't surpass this city.
Texas has been active out there. I figured they'd have some NFL caliber guys.
Yep. Coach, if y'all get too many wrong in a row, then I'll just give y'all the rest. So we won't.
Yeah. Okay.
Please.
All right.
Don't worry. I won't torture you guys with it. But if y'all miss like two in a row, then we'll just give it to you.
How about Baton Rouge?
Yes, sir. Baton Rouge surpassed New Orleans in the last 5 years for the metro area producing the most NFL talent. They are tied with I wouldn't even say that. Actually, they're tied for ninth, I should say. I was going to give you another one, but I'll let you go.
Okay, my next pick will be sure. I can't remember. What did
you say, Bob? You gave us the first two letters of the Wheel of Fortune.
I gave you. That's a damn good hint. It ain't many places.
Yeah, you did.
That sounded like Charlotte.
Yeah, it did. That's Charlotte. Charlotte,
okay.
Yep, tied with Charlotte. There you go.
I want to go. Ohio's got to have a city in here. I don't know which one, but I feel like out of the Midwest, that's probably the state where you'll see the most NFL guys come. Maybe the trenches. Is Ohio anywhere on Ohio in this list?
Is Cleveland's at the bottom of the list? I say bottom. We're ranking the top 10, but Cleveland made it as the honorable mention.
All right.
So I'll give you that. Cleveland didn't make it as honorable mention. Yep. So they're at the bottom where they make it as an honorable mention. Coach, you got another one? I'll give you the rest if you don't.
I'm gonna say. How many South teams are left? South.
You guys got most of these South teams. We got one basically that's left. You guys killed it. Y'all hit the South ones up pretty quickly. Y'all got one in the South that's left, and I'll give you the ones in the North because I don't think y'all gonna get them.
Is it in Florida?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I have no clue. CJ, give me your best Florida.
Give your best Florida, CJ.
The folks in the chat are saying Tampa, so I'm going to go with them.
Tampa.
Amen. Tampa, St. Petersburg.
I'm going for the third time. So it's So Patrick Page, thank you. Invincible, good job. Ryan Nelson, hat tip to all of you guys. I couldn't take a third strike there.
Yeah, it was Tampa, St. Petersburg, that greater metro area. All right, I'll give you the rest here. We got Atlanta number one, DFW two, LA and Miami tied for third. This is over the last 5 years by, like I said, my research. Houston is fourth. Baltimore, Baltimore, that Baltimore area up there. Woo, tons of talent, guys. Mm-hmm. Nice little pocket of talent. They end up fifth. Detroit, Michigan's got to be represented. So Detroit, sixth on this list. The New York tri-state area, by the way, which is kind of cheating because they even grab some of New Jersey and take some of Jersey prospects. So they cheat a little bit with that. But the New York tri-state area is next. We already said Tampa, Charlotte, and Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge, that's they were tied for ninth. Phoenix.
Phoenix, gentlemen.
10. Going up. Phoenix metro area been huge. That Mesa and Chandler, that metro area there. And then we talked to a new guest, Cleveland, Ohio, as an honorable mention there. So there you go. That's top 10 most fertile metro areas in America producing the most NFL talent. There you go. Good job, guys. You guys got, did pretty good. Thought you guys were going to, you know, flounder there. You guys are actually pretty good there. All right. A couple of other topics I want to get to. Before we do that, though, we have to thank one of our other sponsors. And by the way, perfect time to thank this sponsor, guys, because Mother's Day is coming up. And I know some of y'all out there, y'all procrastinating. And that's why you need to thank our friends at thecarrotconcierge.com. With Mother's Day coming up, you may be like me, looking for the right gift for the woman in your life. Make sure you check out Carrot. TheCarrotConcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler, and she is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations right here on screen. You can use the QR code on the screen to see even more or visit her on Instagram or her website, TheCarrotConcierge.com as well. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan, and her family listens to On Texas Football, so they're part of the community here, which we appreciate. Jody prides herself in providing personal service. She takes the extra step to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants. And because she doesn't have the overhead of a storefront, she often gets higher quality inventory at lower prices, as much as 30% less than what you see at a jewelry store. Jody has a number of different tennis bracelets, rings, necklaces, and more, all beautiful jewelry, all personalized for you and yours. Check out thecarrotconcierge.com, visit her website, or give her a call or a text, and take care of that someone special in your life. So go check that out, thecarrotconcierge.com. So thank you very much to Jody Reynolds. We appreciate her support. And yeah, guys, don't forget, Mother's Day coming up. You come on. We've been telling you for a while. Please go to thecarrotconcierge.com. If you don't go there, go somewhere and get something. don't wait till the last minute. Go wait till the last minute for the flowers. But everything else, make sure you get ahead of time. The call, hey, all that.
Do yourself a favor. Seriously, go to the website. It's pretty amazing.
It's great.
I haven't quite picked out that gift yet, but I am buying my Mother's Day gift from the Carrot Concierge, and that's not a word we used a whole lot in Burnett County when I was growing up, by the way.
That's fancy, Coach. Concierge.
Yeah. But anyway, they've got a lot of great stuff on there at very reasonable prices. That's my go-to this Mother's Day. The Carrot Concierge.com.
I appreciate that, and we appreciate their support as well. All right, gentlemen, we got a couple of items that I want to touch on before we get out of here. We're getting close to it. First of all, Joe Klatt, he revealed his post-spring top 25 for 2024. Joe Klatt's pretty plugged in. I like Joe Klatt. He does his research, and Joe Klatt actually, in my opinion, one of the better college football analysts out there. He's got number one on his post-spring rankings, college football rankings, Ohio State number one. He's got Georgia number two, and he's got Texas number three. Ahead of Oregon and ahead of Ole Miss at number five. Ole Miss, man. CJ, you throw this out just a little bit. And Texas doesn't play Ole Miss, so it's really not a relevant topic for us. Man, nobody's cleaned up in the transfer portal like Ole Miss.
Yeah.
This offseason, right? They've been killing it in the transfer portal. They got the Houston corner, didn't they? The U of H corner.
Yeah, just landed him. They've done a tremendous job in the trenches. They land Princely Umanmielen out of Manor by way of Florida this offseason as well. They added two of the offensive linemen from Washington's Joe Moore Award-winning program up there as well. So their trenches are looking just as good as, you know, their skill players. And I know they lost Quinshon Judkins, but if you talk to some folks around the Ole Miss program, I think that they're not, you know, too upset about that right now. Ohio State to me is the top team in the country. I think Oregon is pushing right there for Texas's spot at three. You know, they just added Peyton Woodard out of the portal as well, talented safety that Texas was hoping to get out of high school. Oregon and what they're doing with the trenches. I know they just added a defensive tackle as well. I really like what they're doing. Dan Lanning's building a really impressive program, but that top five is far and away the top five that I have no issues with. Anything after that, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way down, doesn't matter quite yet to me. But those top five, I don't see a way in which you can argue who the top five teams in the country are going into the season. I think it's a really, really stacked top five this year. Ohio State, I know there's a question mark about Will Howard and will he be the quarterback to lead them to a national championship? Look, if you have Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, again, Jeremiah Smith, the freshman All-American wide receiver who's going to be a five-star guy making big-time plays this year. And then you look at who they return on the defensive side of the ball, and, I mean, good luck in that conference. Oregon-Ohio State's going to be a heck of a matchup sometime this year. I wouldn't be surprised if that's your Big Ten championship. Michigan, of course, lost a lot. Drew Aller still the quarterback at Penn State, so how far really can you go with that? I know they have two talented running backs, but that top five, I think it goes top five and then a drop to six. I think Alabama, Michigan, both talented, not going to be contending right now with that top five.
Yeah. Coach, what are your thoughts? You think this is about right for you? You got any other teams you think? Is Texas too high, too low, just right for you?
Well, I think Texas is probably where they deserve to be. I feel really strong about the first four. I don't know that, you know, Ole Miss, I just have a really hard time feeling like they could beat anybody in the country on any given Saturday.
That's fair.
They just seem to have a way to slip up, you know, once or twice. You know, I just don't see them as being a blue blood ready to take on all takers that want a part of it. I just don't. They very well may do it. And I tell you what, they've got a great coaching staff. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know that they're complete top to bottom the way Texas, Oregon, Georgia, and Ohio State is to me. But, you know, they could, you know, Kiffin can pull stuff out of the hat like nobody's business. So, he's so entertaining. He deserves to be in the top five because some of the stuff he comes up with is just awesome. I mean, everybody's thinking it, but nobody says it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think these players like it, but sometimes the hijinks and the antics, it can be a bit much unbecoming of a head coach, but obviously he's been killing it on the recruiting trail. So something about Lane Kiffin that the players like, and by the way, because Sark and Lane Kiffin are real close. I mean, they're real tight. That'd be something cool about Lane Kiffin, even if necessarily all the fans don't like him. I'll throw this out there too, because I know we're getting close to the end of it here. I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this topic from Ross Dellinger. Ross Dellinger has an article over at Yahoo Sports, and I sent it to you guys. It's a really long read, but in essence, essentially Ross Dellinger is saying that the modern model that the Big Ten and the SEC were discussing, which is a player revenue sharing model. So they're talking about sharing revenue with the players they're getting. He says there, basically he's got some more details on what a modern model would look like. And he says that basically the NCAA is being, they're basically been overwhelmed with lawsuits, antitrust lawsuits. So they're trying to settle these lawsuits. Right now, they owe upwards of $2.9 billion in back damages, like over the next 10 years, the NCAA does. And they have multiple lawsuits, the House versus the NCAA, and there's a new one, Fontenot versus the NCAA, that they're sure to lose. They're going to lose. Well, not sure to lose it, but most people believe they're going to lose it. And when they lose those cases, they're going to owe even more money. On top of the 2-point-something billion they already owe, they're going to owe even more. You'd be talking about upwards of $4 billion-something dollars the NCAA could owe based on antitrust lawsuits against them. So Ross Dellinger says in order for the NCAA to settle all this and to move forward with a new restructuring of college football to make sure they no longer violate antitrust laws. Here's what they've come up with. A 10-year settlement that could cost each power school as much as $300 million over the decade, or $30 million a year. That figure assumes a school meets what is believed to be, one, $17 to $22 million revenue distribution cap for athletes. Yep, it sounds like what it is. It's a salary cap.
Yeah.
At least $2 million in withheld NCAA distribution for back damages, because they got to settle all the law antitrust lawsuits and all the whatever the court decides that they owe. They don't even know that yet, so put aside money for that. And three, as much as $10 million in additional scholarship costs related to an expansion of sport-specific roster sizes, a concept previously unpublicized. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Probably means an anticipation of Title IX or something like that. We might have to do some other things and give money. I'm not sure exactly what that is. My point is, by the way, this comes from Ross Dellinger. He's saying because of the pressure being put on them by the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, basically that they are saying that they want to settle in the next 40 days, or they don't want to go to court. And in order for them to decide not to take it to court, that they want to settle in 40 days. So that's what Ross Dellinger is implying here with his tweet, that they're going to vote on this within 40 days. And if they agree to it, implementation of it will be no sooner than fall of 2025.
Ooh, I mean, to be a lawyer for the NCAA, am I right? You'd be retiring by the end of the month, basically. But to me, again, this kind of just falls in line with what we're seeing with the Big Ten and the SEC kind of making those discovery groups and those advisory boards, going out there and finding ways in which that they can become their own governing bodies. And I think that's going to be the continual trend in what they hope to accomplish at the end of the day for the future of college football. That's a heavy list, a laundry list of chores for the NCAA to overcome. And I'm not sure exactly what it entails for the current football model. But at the end of the day, the closer it becomes for college athletes to become, you know, employees of the university, the more that you're going to hear about, you know, the strikings. Was it Brown earlier, that one of the Ivies had the unionization of the football program? You know, you're going to hear more and more about this, basically. And at the end of the day, I mean, the TV rights and the conferences are going to be what owns and dominates, really pulls the strings with what happens in college football. Luckily, Texas is going to be at the forefront of everything because it's the University of Texas. So what does that mean for everybody else? I don't know. But at the end of the day, Texas will be playing with the big boys here. And, you know, it'll be something that I think is very interesting to sit back on and enjoy the ride. Because, again, I don't think many people understand what this means, how many hurdles there will be, how many changes, how many, you know, situations in which you could look at and say, you know what? This is the entire landscape of college football flipping on its head, or at least in the way we view the student athletes as employees versus, you know, amateur athletes. It's a lot. So it's really intriguing to follow. And I'm sure in the next couple of months, we'll certainly learn a lot more about it.
Yeah. Coach, you got any thoughts on this? This thing is moving at an accelerated rate, a lot faster than any of us thought. We thought these changes would come, you know, near distant future. Looks like it's going to be near future for college football, whether it happens right within this window or whether it's going to be happening in another window. It looks like, you know, paying the players, or at least a revenue share with the players, is inevitable.
I do too. I just don't know. I mean, there's so many pieces of the puzzle. What's it going to do to coaches' salary? Because right now they're skyrocketing. I mean, they're throwing crazy money out there. It's nothing to have three or four guys on your staff making $1 million+.
Right.
You know, sometimes more than that. And so how is it going to affect that? And where's all this money going to come from? You know, my understanding is that the Longhorn Network, the money that the university got from Longhorn Network, most of that pretty much went to the university. It did not go to the athletic department. Is that the way you guys understand it?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the distribution of it. They said some of the figures they came up with here, like the salary cap figure they came up with, 17 to 22 million per program, which is, like I said, their projected salary cap. They said the figure was determined through a percentage, roughly 22%, of an average Power Four athletic department revenue streams, most notably ticket sales, TV contracts, and sponsorships, but not donations. But I'm with you, Coach. I mean, yeah, maybe that's the case for the larger schools in the power conferences, but I don't know if even the lower tier schools in the power conferences can afford the price tag that they're out there. And maybe that's the whole point, guys, the true separation of the have and the have nots here, where we're no longer, I mean, you're talking about major college sports now. The teams that can't or the programs that can't afford it will, maybe they'll obviously agree to this, and the programs that can't, they won't agree to it. And I don't know if they need all Power Four conferences to agree to this, or if they're fine with just two conferences agreeing to it, which would be the two that can't afford it, the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah. You also have to look at income coming in, which Texas is always one of the top two or three in the country in terms of equipment sales. I don't know. How do you describe that, CJ? Just stuff, the shirts and memorabilia, caps, just revenue, revenue coming into the university. We're typically one of the top two or three in the country in that, which you know, could make up a lot of ground for us, but it's not going to make up some ground for some, you know, Oklahoma State and some others that don't have the fan base and the support, you know, to go out and buy a lot of OSU trademark goods.
No, I mean, with NIL now, I know they have the opportunity to make some extra dollars off of those, you know, licensed merchandise sold from the team's store. If that turns into everything that's sold, whether it be on Fanatics or ESPN, wherever you get all your jerseys, probably not ESPN, sorry. But, you know, a lot of these extra avenues are going to, like you said, Rob, just create a separation from the Joneses and the schools looking to scrap a couple dollars to fund an extra sport. That's going to be a big selling point in recruiting. And luckily, again, Texas, you know, it's one of the most recognizable logos, brands, universities in the entire world. That's going to be a selling point. And I think with the way that, you know, you can expand the roster, you know, the scholarship expansion coming, the new roster limits, again, that's just something that I think Texas will benefit from. You look at the list of changes here, and I don't see many, you know, marks on what would negatively affect Texas here moving forward. So I think that's a positive.
Yeah, no, we don't add it. None of it does. Okay, I got one question I'm going to answer before we get out of here and say bye to the folks. Thank you guys for all of your participation. Really appreciate you guys. It's from James. James Henson wants to ask me a football question. I love answering football questions. James is a Rod. I've heard you say that good cornerbacks can play in phase. Can you explain what that means to a fan that loves football but never played football except with the neighborhood kids? Yeah, love playing with the neighborhood kids. All right, basically in phase just means you're in a position to play the football. Out of phase means you're not in a position to play football, usually in a trail technique out of ideal position. So you have to have another plan. So if I'm in phase, then I can secure the receiver, whether I'm on the upfield shoulder or whether I am securing the receiver with just you know, kind of a look and lean technique, as they say on the sideline. If I can feel the receiver, but I can see the quarterback. So most people define in phase as being able to see the football and play the football, but be in a really good position to secure the receiver while playing the football. They simply, that's in phase. Being able to secure the receiver, or upfield shoulder, really good coverage by being able to play the football. That's in phase. Out of phase means, which is half the time, you're not in ideal position and you can't play the football while also securing the receiver. You see some guys, they're in chase mode. They're staring at the receiver. Texas DB sometimes, right? They're in chase mode. Looking at the receiver. Even if you're hip-to-hip with the receiver, but you're staring at the receiver, then you're considered out of phase because you're not in a position to play the football. I was out of phase a lot because I played the eyes, and I would play the eyes of the receiver, and I'd play the hands of the receiver. So I'm not playing the football. You guys know I had bad hands anyway. I try to play the damn football, end up – timing it out wrong, fumbling the football somehow, deflecting it, wide receiver catches it, and y'all would be mad at me today over something like that, right? So I played the hands, I played the eyes, because I didn't have great hand-eye coordination, and I didn't have great hands. I played with guys like Nathan Basher, who always played the damn football. So Nathan Basher was always in phase because he could secure the receiver, but once the ball was in the air, he became a receiver. He had a right to the football. So it's that Diggs for Dallas plays in phase. Ramsey for the Dolphins plays out of phase a lot. Yeah, and Diggs takes a lot of chances too. Diggs takes a lot of chances.
A hole or hero is what they call it.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that's why for Diggs, he's playing the football. And so, yeah, with that, he's always, maybe in phase with a chance to secure the receiver, but sometimes he's out of position. Not in a position, but he will abandon his coverage responsibilities. There's about Trevon Diggs real quick. He has a low pro football focus grade sometimes, even though he's really productive, because he will abandon his coverage and say, I know what they're going to run. They're going to run a double slant. To hell with my deep third I'm supposed to be covering. I'm going to break on this damn slant. So yeah. There are some guys that, they don't grade out really well, but that's what I was taught as definition of in phase. You're in a position to secure the receiver, play the football. If you're out of phase, you're essentially beat. You're not beat, badly, but the receiver has a step on you. The receiver has the advantage. That, to me, calls for a panic plan. What's your panic plan when you are beat? What are you going to do? I play eyes. I play hands. And when you're not in a position to play the ball, which is what in phase is. There you go. So thanks, James, for the question. Like that. Good football conversation. All right. Thanks to Coach Shipley for doing a great job, as always. And thanks to CJ Bogle. Matthew behind the scenes is the real MVP, guys. He makes it happen, and he's awesome. All right. This thing wouldn't happen without him. Let me remind everybody out there, you can be an OTFOG. Don't forget about that. Don't forget. You want you to sign up to be an OTFOG. You can join them over at OwenTexasFootball.com. They're running a special over there. $20 off annual subscription to the site if you use the promo code OTFOG. OTFOG for $20 off. Instead of a $60 a year, just $39.95. Or you can get a monthly subscription for just $5.95. For more insider news on the team and recruiting, make sure you check out OwenTexasFootball.com to become an OTFOG. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you to Matthew. Thank you to Coach. Thank you to CJ Vogel. Thank you to the CarrotConcierge.com. Thank you to South Point Dodge. Thank you to all of you guys for your participation. Really appreciate it. Can't do it without you. Don't forget, we'll be back on Thursday, 4:15-ish. So around 5:30-ish, we'll get into some more football discussion. CJ, what's going on tomorrow for the people on Texas football?
Yeah, of course. I mean, lots of updates on OnTexasFootball.com. Coffee and football in the morning. Jerry and I will have the recruiting breakdown. He's out in Florida right now. Just saw Jamie French. Great little update posted on him just a minute ago. Also, check out Jerry's sit-down interview with Jamie French, about 10 minutes of one-on-one with the five-star wide receiver. Of course, Texas making moves there. And, of course, the Longhorn live stream Tuesday evening. A lot going on. We'll try to wrap things up before the Stars and the Mavs kick off for all of my Dallas folk. A big night going on tomorrow. And, of course, a lot of news covered here at On Texas Football.
All right. Thank you, CJ, for that. And thank you guys for all your participation. Appreciate you growing this thing at Owen Texas Football, man. The family keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we love this community. Thanks for all that you do. All right. Until next time, folks, for Coach, for CJ, for Matthew behind the scenes, for South Point Dodge, for Owen Texas Football family, for the CarrotConcierge.com, I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Until next time, hook 'em horns.